Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
If you could build your own civilization, city, theme park, castle, or zoo, would you build for beauty, for function, or just to tear it all down? In this episode, we'll be discussing world-building games, everything from Roller Coaster Tycoon to SimCity to Planet Zoo and Jurassic World Evolution and more. We'll be explaining the gashes as we go through great time for old players and new players alike. So today we have Joshua Noel here. Do you want to say hi, Josh?
Said hi, Josh.
And I'm Laura. So hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.
Not necessary. Yeah.
So, Josh, what have you been geeking out on lately?
I don't want to say Planet Zoo because I'm probably going to talk about that in the episode. So instead, I'm going to make Will have to take a drink. Kingdom Hearts, really specifically, I've been doing the fragmentary passage that was like right before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. That wasn't a full game, so I never gave it like, I don't feel like I ever gave it its due. So now I'm playing it on its own, and I'm like, it's a really good game, just on its own. So that's where I'm at.
So we just got the Nintendo Switch 2, and for me, nice. It's been Mario Kart World. I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart World and doing random things throughout Mario Kart World, so that's been a lot of fun, and I definitely need people to play with us. So. If you are on a laptop, please consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser or Good Pods. This will help our show gain recognition and be easier to find in the search engines. And if you're on your phone, please consider rating, reviewing, or commenting on our show on Apple Podcast or Spotify. This will help prioritize our show in those apps' algorithms, and we thank you in advance for your support. We also want to give thanks to our supporter, Jonathan Augustine. Or is it Augustine, Augustine? This is always a debate in seminary as well. Is it Augustine or Augustine? But thank you, Jonathan, Augustine, Augustine. We appreciate it. Remember, if you'd like your own shout out, you too can support our show for just $3 a month on one of these three platforms. So thank you for joining us. And by the way, those platforms are Apple Podcasts, Captivator, Patreon. So we appreciate it. So let's dive into the actual episode. Ooh, that was a fun sound. Let's dive into our episode a little bit. So Josh, what was your first encounter with world building, map creation, or just modifications in games?
I'm not 100% sure my first encounter. I remember some of my earliest encounters probably being like whenever like Ratchet and Clank started letting you mod weapons so you could add like an acid mod to your bombs. Because, of course, when you blow someone up with a bomb, they also need to be covered in acid. Why wouldn't they?
Of course.
You know, yeah, crazy stuff like that. I remember that pretty early on. I remember Smash Bros. When it started letting you do like stage builders. That was a big one for me. I'm trying to think of other stuff. Of course, I played all the early Tycoons. I definitely remember sitting in school at the library, totally practicing my typing so I can get my typing count out and not playing SimCity to build a big city and make Godzilla destroy it. That's not what I was doing.
SimCity
might have been what I was doing.
I mean, SimCity is really where it all started for me. I remember when you could send in a tornado, like, you know, just you have this beautiful city, you've spent all this time, and then
it's great.
Tornado destruction. It's so great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think one of the best parts of that too, for me, who was totally not part of all this, but whenever everybody played SimCity at school, just to be honest, that's what we were doing in the library. The best part is like people would go to the restroom and someone would get up and unleash the tornado on their city and then flip back to what they were pretending to do. Because like you get mad, but what are you going to do? You can't tell the teacher.
Right.
Like I was playing games instead of doing my homework. And then this guy ruined my game. Like you're just stuck with it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's great.
Yeah. No, it's the worst. You spent all this time. And I remember being so frustrated because when you first start playing SimCity, nothing you do makes sense. Like your city layout is terrible, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Everything's bad. Just organized just in bad. The worst way possible. And so sometimes that tornado is a bit of a blessing because then you can reorganize what you did wrong the first time. Tornadoes are not a blessing in real life. I'm not saying that. In the SimCity game.
True.
Just to be clear.
Specifically, when you need to start over and everyone's going to be fine.
There is no, you know, real, you know, anyway.
God. Did you ever watch the TV series Monk?
No, I didn't.
Man, one of my favorite episodes, the garbage people go on strike, and he's like super OCD clean guy. He's the great, like world greatest detective. He could solve everything that's going on, but instead, he's at the mayor's office. So you're like, listen, city's filled with trash. We just need to burn the whole city down and start over. And that's what SimCity is.
I love it. I love it. It yeah. totally is. You're like, I did a terrible job. Let's just wipe it all clean. We're good.
Start over.
We're good.
Yeah.
So what about, are you familiar with Let's Game It Out?
Not at all. I have no idea what this is.
Okay. So this is maybe a terrible confession because if you've ever watched it, it's kind of horrible, but it's also hilarious. So my kids and I discovered Let's Game It Out. A couple of years ago, and it's a channel on YouTube. Basically, they play all of these kind of like tycoon games, especially like theme park tycoon, roller coaster, or, you know, planet tycoon, ooh, all of those kind of games. And they push the game to like the worst limits possible. And and what I mean by that is, you know, they'll play like these theme park games where they see how high you can make a roller coaster and how high can you make a roller coaster fly across the park. And, you know, what limits can you put the people to before they all leave the park? Like it does some really awful things, but it's really funny because it's all of those invasive thoughts that you have around these kind of games. Like, what would happen if I made it to where there was one bathroom in the park, or there's no way to get out of the park without riding every ride or getting stuck on a ride for days at a time? And so
I did all of these things in middle school playing Roller Coaster Tycoon.
And it,
this is just a description of my life at one point.
Some of the episodes, though, are so funny because every time you think he's reached the limit of what he can do or what is appropriate, he does something crazier. So there's one episode where there's like a jalopy car sort of thing, but he makes the track so long that the people are on it for an equivalent of like 30 days. Like they can't get off of it. And there's like hundreds That's of cars awful. And you never really rotate off. And so it's really, fantastic. It's that kind of stuff. But what, now that I've described this and made it sound terrible, I genuinely love watching it.
I need to watch this.
You
now.
Really do. There are some really good episodes.
It's so funny.
There are some where he plays like The Sims, you know, itself and does really awful things. It's funny to watch. So what do you think it is, Josh, that's appealing about this sort of thing? Like, is it the intrusive thoughts or the ADHD or whatever it is that we all secretly have and don't know about?
That's a great question. I really don't know. Like, I remember even like I loved trying to build obstacles for the zookeepers and Zoo Tycoon, then releasing the lions to see how long it took them to get there. I think there's just something that's like just the chaos, the destruction of it, where you're like, man, this is great. And knowing that it's not actually impacting anyone, I feel like it's different. Somehow it's even different in a game than a TV show. You know, like if you watch a character do this in a show, you just hate them. But mm-hmm. in a game, you're the one doing it. You're just like, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to see what would happen.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, as a person who like loves roller coasters in real life, like I cannot ride enough roller coasters. Put me on every roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I love all of them. But one of my favorite things that happens like on this channel and with a couple of other streamers that play this kind of thing, Kindly Kian is one that my kids love to watch too. But they'll do things like say, like, how many G-forces can we get out of this roller coaster? And if you know anything about roller coasters, like anything over like two or three and your body is, you know, you're hurting, like astronauts have a threshold, yeah. right? But they'll get up to like 40 and 60 Gs, like capacities that would absolutely annihilate the human body, right? Like nobody could survive that. But it's fun to watch them build and to see, like you said, what if, what would happen just theoretically if a roller coaster went 300 miles an hour? Like, what would happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's like, it's a weird phenomena for me that only happens in video games. Cause I'll even like not world building, just like character games and stuff. Sometimes you just want to jump off the cliff. You just want to die. Cause like, you know, I'm going to start over. And it's like, it's something you can't do in real life. And maybe this is like, someone's going to want me to seek mental health or something, but like I oftentimes in real life, I'm like, I kind of wish I could do like a video game and like, I just got to run in front of this car. And then I'll just restart and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just to see what it's like. I don't know.
So my kids don't like playing Fortnite with me because I'm an agent of chaos when we play Fortnite. I don't play it appropriately. I get in a car and I run into all the gas stations and make the biggest explosions I can. Or like my kids will be running down the road and I'll hit them with the car because they're fine. This doesn't happen in real life. Let me add this disclaimer. But in Fortnite, it's funny because like they launch across the screen and like there's like, I don't know. You're just like, what would happen? Yeah. Everyone is safe.
I also feel like we like there's something in us that maybe we just got to like channel out. Because I even know like card games or even like role playing games. I always love being the person of chaos. Like it is my absolute favorite thing.
Me too.
Another host of our show, Christian Ashley, for some reason made the terrible decision to show me a game called Killer Bunnies and the Quest for the Magical Carrot while we were in college. The way I was told from other people in that group, the games usually took about 30 minutes and then I started playing and they started taking about an hour. Because I'll kill everybody even if it kills myself. Like, I don't care. Like, I want us all to lose.
So this is how I am when I play D&D and it drives my husband insane because... Nice. We'll get in an encounter that should not involve any sort of violence or hostility. But there was one particular time we were on an adventure and somebody had a hat. And I was like, that's a cool hat. Can I have it? And they said no. And my husband really doubled down as the DM, like, this NPC is not giving you his hat. So then I fought everybody in the town and took his hat.
Yeah.
Naturally. Chaos is just fun sometimes. And I think what's interesting is I feel like the people who are the most chaotic in gaming are the most regulated, orderly people in every other facet of life. And maybe that's why we're that way.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, because I'm like the rule guy. Like one of the things that annoys people where I work with Chipotle is I'm still like, I know every recipe by heart. I don't need the book. And I'm not going to mess up anything ever. I know the exact temperature for everything, where everything's supposed to be. I'm very like, this is how it goes. And then we play a game and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna kill all of us, including myself. just going to happen.
No, I mean, same for my annual conference, the North Carolina conference. I'm assistant parliamentarian during our conferences. I love order. I love rules. But in a game, give me all the chaos, all of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be annoyingly theological. Part of me also kind of wonders, like, why? You know, because, like, I don't think that that instinct is inherently evil. But I also feel like I would really struggle to be like, God's an agent of chaos. But, like, also look at the world he built. Like, there's a lot of chaos. So I'm like, maybe there's a little bit of chaos. You know, maybe not all of it's bad. Like, the world does kind of run on entropy.
Explain the duck-billed platypus. Man. I mean, like, what kind of animal is that? God wasn't trying to be like, there was a little nonsense thrown in there. Explain giraffes. Like, your neck is 40 miles
solar
long.
Flares.
Right. Like, all of these things. God has a sense of humor, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, just the I'm trying to find a way to the PG version, like our gastro whatever system. I can't think of the word.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that we have that, God's got at least occasionally has to have like a 12-year-old boy sense of humor.
100%
has to.
100%
Yeah.
Yeah. So like there's a little bit of chaos thrown in there everywhere. Right. You know, like that's creation, you know, and it's. Yeah.
Well, and if you go through the Psalms, sorry, I've been helping to like I help with Bible After Hours, another podcast on our network. and he's going through the Psalms in different ways that it talks about God. I'm like, sometimes like it does appeal to these like chaotic parts of nature to show like God's spontaneity. Like God isn't just like, here the rules, we're going to follow the rules. Like God's fun.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think about, so like I saw this random video because doom scrolling and that's what people do. Right. But yeah, I saw this random video yesterday about the reason that Disney World looks so perfect is that they make things look intentionally chaotic in places. So like, in order to make things look more natural, they have to mess it up. So like there's this perfection and then they shift it. And, you know, sometimes that imperfection and that chaos gives us a greater appreciation for the order at the same time, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, just like it's so weird, too. Disney just makes things better intentionally. You go to Disneyland, they have like the boardwalk, like their version of the boardwalk. I went to all in one week, the actual Pier 66, whatever boardwalk, and then Disney's version. I'm like, why is the mimic version of the carousel at least 6 times larger than the actual?
Which brings us to a topic this is weird. I always come back to, which is Plato and the allegory of the cave, which we're not going to talk about, but you know, it's just where my brain goes.
One day.
Although it does really tie in with these sort of games and this conversation.
Go for it then.
It's okay. I'll save it for another
time. We gotta, you know, Will likes geekologists. We gotta dig deeper.
You know, what is it that's
for Will?
What is the most real? You know, is it the thing or is it the image of the thing or is it the image of the image of the thing? And, you know, then we just chaos, like I said, chaos at all times.
Yeah.
So
necessary.
What are some games that you have experienced with maybe some unique mod creations?
Yeah. I mentioned earlier Ratchet and Clank. That's obviously it's my bread and butter. I always go back to that where they have like just random stuff. I think it's not till like the 5th or 6th game. One of the mods, so one of the earlier weapons, I think it's in Going Commando, is the Sheepinator. You can just turn your enemies into sheep because why wouldn't you want to do that? But one of the later games has a mod where you could put on almost any of your weapons where like instead of the knife, they just you turn into a duck or a sheep or something. And I loved that. So those are really unique, not very complicated systems. What's the one at the mall? Is that Dead Rising, the zombie game with the mall where you can like just turn, take a lightsaber or a lawnmower or whatever and make it work?
That one I'm not sure of. I am terrified of zombie games.
So good. Well, my other one's another zombie game.
Okay.
So Dead Island. There's a lot of cool mods there. You can, if you have like a battery, some wires and a bat, you know, you can make a cool weapon out of that. Like pretty much anything you can make a weapon out of in Dead Island. It's just a lot more serious than the mall one, which I wish I could remember what it's called. Cause in the mall one, like I'm literally taking like Legos and stuff. And I'm like, I'm finding a way to kill a zombie with this Lego.
Yeah.
It was great. But yeah, Dead Island was a little bit more serious, but it was really unique to see what kind of stuff you could make that was actually going to be impactful in a terrifying situation.
I think that's one thing I loved when like Tears of the Kingdom came out, because there were so many different things that you could create and do in Tears of the Kingdom as far as like making weapons or making just boats and planes and ways to get by. And there were some wild videos that were going around when Tears of the Kingdom came out, that just things that people were doing that were just insane. And sometimes having that ability to create, I think you end up with things in games that the developers never had any intention of. It happens. You give people this free agency and we do crazy things.
Yeah. Well, especially when you get to like computer games, and later we'll talk about like some of the tycoons with some of the mods people made, and you could literally just recreate Pirates of the Caribbean, but maybe change some things. Or now with everything being on Steam, mods are so easy. Like, it's just crazy how easy it is to be like, you know what? I'm going to add a duck mod. I remember I had people over to play All for One like a month or two ago, and I changed the wrench into Sly Cooper's cane. Just see how long it took people to realize. Like, we're going through the game. It's like, wait a minute. Are all the wrenches Sly Cooper's cane? Yes. Yes, they are.
It's so funny because I think about like my children, like mods and games have always been something they just knew how to do and experience. And that's so crazy to me that, you know, for my middle son, Alan, he's 11 and he plays Doom all the time. I'm a great mom. Don't ask questions about it.
Yeah.
But he has played like every different iteration and mod around Doom that you can possibly imagine. Like, he knows about things that I didn't even know existed. And he called me one day when I was at work and he said, Mom, I found an office mod of Doom. I need you to watch me play it. And it was the most ridiculous thing in the world, but like you're literally playing like in the office and going through this whole
fantastic
thing, playing Doom. It's crazy and absolute insanity. And I support it 100%.
As you should. Yeah.
So what about, like, let's talk about stage builders.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Smash Bros. Earlier. I used to love creating ridiculous stages because, you know, you would create them, then you got to, like, fight on whatever stage you just built, mm-hmm. right? And I would just, this stage is going to be only folly blocks and spikes. Like, I love doing stuff like that. Or, like, making a maze for the fight. So, like, I could go through this maze and, like, hide in the corner. And then, like, I knew, like, bigger characters like Bowser wasn't going to be able to fit through where some of the spikes were. And I was like, I'm going to win. Of course, it would always instead turn into Bowser being stuck between a block and spikes and damage constantly increasing and no one being able to die or escape. And then we just had to quit. But that was one of my favorites. I love the stage builder on Smash Bros. Super Mario Maker. Ooh. I know that's a big one for a lot of people.
Super Mario Maker. Oh, my gosh. So my this game gives me so much anxiety and my kids love it. And what's wild, though, is if you, I think one of the things I love about Mario Maker is you have this invitation to explore other people's creations. So you're not just bound by what you make or what your kids make and force you to play against your will. Wink, wink.
That sounds great. I'd love to make my mom do that.
Oh my gosh. So I think what's interesting is like the pure amount of insanity that you can put into a level. And when you play other people's levels that they've made, you can see the places where everyone has died. And so it's easy to measure like how far you're getting compared to other people. And then also to really measure just how chaotic a level is. But Super Mario Maker, if you've never played it, you're just creating your own levels of Mario. And you have all like the bits and pieces and the, you know, the weapons and the landmarks and all of those things that you see in traditional Mario games with the textures and everything. And to be able to just have creative license, I think it's really interesting because growing up as a kid, you know, I grew up with Mario. You know, when I was 4, we got our first Nintendo mm-hmm. and played Mario. And I remember thinking, how cool would it be to design your own stage? But then the Whitman kids came along and I realized for all the crazy I thought I had in me, they are like exponentially worse. And some of the things they've come up with are just terrifying. Like you go to play the levels and you're like, great. But then there's other levels where people have come up with like these musical soundtracks in the background. And like, there's like Indiana Jones and like all kind of crazy things you wouldn't think of to go with Mario, but they've done it mm-hmm. and made it work. And it's
that's great.
Wild.
I mean, that's the other thing with Smash Bros. I didn't mention on the stage, you could choose the music. And if you go through like campaigns and different stuff, you unlock new music that you can add to your stage. And there's a song that there's, I think it's like the French version I put on there. That's like, Mano, look at the pizza. So I have like all spikes and everyone's getting mad at each other. We're all dying, flying all over the map. And you just have this like pizza. It's just all like preppy and happy. And I'm like, this is all I want in life.
It's great. It's great.
I know another one. I think you got to choose music for this too. I think it was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X is the one that I did it on. But you had like, you can make your own skate parks. I remember that being really fun too. And also it had spikes. Spikes are a big theme for whether or not I like building a stage.
I've noticed a theme here. Like there's a...
Chaos.
For sure.
Yeah, but it's great.
I support it.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
And of course, right now, I think you can't talk about this kind of stuff without mentioning Roblox at least, because it's like you're basically, people are just building their own games wholesale and being able to sell. It's like a whole video game culture. An early part of it. It just feels like we have to mention it at least.
Definitely. Know? And I, total confession, don't understand Roblox at all. My kids, again, are obsessed with it. I don't really get the appeal. They'll sit on there and play like Roblox Call of Duty instead of playing Call of Duty. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you play? But they're like, Mom, this one's better. Trust me. And I'm like, it's not, but okay. And so that's the sort of thing that they're into. At the same time, what I do love on Roblox is the obbies. Like, I don't know if you ever play obbies on Roblox.
I haven't played anything on Roblox.
Okay, so everything I know because I have children show me all these things. But obbies are just obstacle courses that people have made. And some of them are absurd. Like, they are impossible to play. And then others are just, like, fun. Like, you're just running around and jumping on things and skipping to the next thing. And there's, like, rewards for where you go. But some of it is insanity. So
yeah, the one thing I do know, even though I've never played it, that I just feel like I have to mention that I appreciate about Roblox, I do know it helps a lot of like indie gamers who, you know, maybe aren't with these big mega corporations that kind of almost have the market cornered. The Roblox kind of opens it back up for small-time creators, and I kind of do like that, not trying to get on like the weird nerdy, like, you know, talking points. It's just one of those. I like small businesses, indie creators, indie comic writers, all that kind of stuff. So anytime it's like, hey, this helps those people, I love it. Even if I've never played Roblox, because I know myself, and I know once I start finding tiny little games I love, I'm just going to keep buying them.
Yeah, and I've heard.
I can't do that.
And I'm sure somebody can correct me or give me the title of what I'm trying to talk about. But I keep hearing this thing about this garden thing that everybody's playing on Roblox now. And like, people are getting upset because their plants are getting stolen and like stuff's not where they put it in their garden. And I'm like, I can't keep a garden together in real life. I do not need to be trusted with a Roblox garden at all. So
that said, if there was like Tycoon Butterfly Garden, I'd probably play it. But somehow I'd find a way to make it all wasp. We're going to have wasps.
There you go.
I'll have two. One for the butterflies, one for the wasps. I like both. You know, I like doing stuff for the aesthetic, but then sometimes I'm like, what if I just only had the bad stuff?
I think that's what I love about like Animal Crossing and stuff too, like especially the newest Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't like totally fit into this category, but at the same time, you have this whole like building your island and shaping your island and making it. And it's so crazy to see just the vast range that people will develop these things. You know, some people are very dreamy and like it's like peaceful and there's gardens everywhere. And then other people, it looks like Mustafar and it's really scary. And you know, who knows?
Yeah. Well, I thought about like Animal Crossing for this kind of stuff too, because you have Animal Crossing. They're having a new Shire game that's going to be like that, and you can cook your own food. And I'm so excited. Okay. So you're getting it too?
Can we? Okay, I need to.
We'll do a live. We'll have to do a live like both of us play it kind of time.
100%. Let me tell you, I need to vent for a second because I've been waiting for this game for a long time, and it was supposed to come out in November. And I kid you not, I planned vacation time around this game coming out, and then they pushed it back. And now July, finally, I have never been so excited for a game in my life, Josh. Like, really excited.
I am really excited. There's another game I'm more excited about coming out, but
Death Stranding 2.
A little bit. Well, two, actually. No. There's later, we're talking about Jurassic World Evolution 3. Obviously, I'm more excited for Kingdom Hearts 4, but that's one of those, like, I know in the back of my head, I'm like, that's coming out in the year 3000. Like, I'm not. Like, I'm excited for it, but I'm not anticipating it, if that makes sense.
I'm just over here waiting for the next Donkey Kong game and the Shire game. Fun. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Shire's going to be great.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And I just, there's a lot of things, like, even Overcooked, you know, you're not creating anything, but it's like the idea of like making food and plates and like doing it, even though I work in a kitchen, it's still just all those kind of games where like you just get to create something. Yeah. Just bring me joy. I don't know. I'm weird.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah. This is like a weird corner of gaming, I feel like.
What about? We talked about stage builders, real-time strategies. What about real-time strategies?
Yeah. I wish this fit more into the category better, because I loved these as a child. So most people, I think, played Age of Empire, and it was like the normal thing to do. I played Stronghold Crusader games that are pretty much the same thing. I'm not sure why I went down this path while everybody else was doing Age of Empire. I was young. I don't remember what the cause of that was, but I did just get this on my Steam account as well, because they have like the complete collection of Crusader games. Also, from my recollection, these were actually made from college students learning how to develop games. And like, I just think that's cool. But, you know, you get to build your castle, your huts, your people. You have your own little village. I think the big difference with like real-time strategy and some of the other tycoon games we're going to talk about is like, you're building to either fight other nations or like the Sid Meier's games, you want to take them over through diplomatic means or, you know, whatever, you're advancing a society and you're probably going to be attacked. So there's a lot of like fighting involved too. You think of like World of Warcraft, StarCraft, all that kind of stuff, I think fits in this. For me, Crusaders was part of why I enjoyed it, is because at first I got really aggravated because I'm going to build some cool armies and kill things. It's like, well, no people want to go to your castle, so who's you're in your army if you don't have any people? And I'm like, fine, I'll get them to come. Here's food. It's cool. They need mead and beer too. And I'm like, fine. And then I had to have hunters. Then I had to have entertainment. And like, I'm building this castle. And at first it was like, just so I could have an army. And eventually it turned into, actually, I kind of like this. You know, you even have to have stuff so that people aren't just defecating in the castle. You know, like you have to have like a whole system built up. And eventually I was like, I actually got really into the system and forgot about the enemies, and then I got attacked and killed, and I got upset. So then I created like a, like the separate, like, it's almost like a sandbox thing, but you like have your own enemies you set up. So I set up like one enemy so far away he couldn't get to me at the absolute easiest difficulty. So if he ever approached, it just, of course, I had spikes around my castle because that was an option. He
of
just
course.
Died.
Of course, of course.
Spikes yeah. are coming back.
Make it a thing.
But Yeah, it was just barely there, though, just so I could focus on the like building the castle part, because I just had a lot of fun with it. I don't know.
Yeah, this was never really my thing. Like, I tried like the civilization thing, all of that. But I don't know. I think after a while, I feel like there's too much to manage. And I'm just like, this feels like work now. So like the first little bit, I'm like, this is great. And then after a while, I'm like,
Yeah, the Sid Meier's games are crazy. I got into the Pirates one because it was on PSP. I had fun with it. The Civilization ones, though, like, yeah, like, it's fun, but the problem is you don't, like, Stronghold Crusaders, I'm always dealing with castles and stuff. In Sid Meier's, years are progressing, so I'm like, cool, I got my castle together. And I'm like, why do you have a castle? Everybody else has museums now and rocket ships, and I'm like, what? Rocket ships? It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, I can't, I don't know. I feel like I have to do that in real life, like keep my children alive and like manage my house. And then by the time I figure out TikTok, they're like, there's this new thing. And so, you know, it's too close to home.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So what about Sims games? So this is okay. So The Sims, right? Like The Sims has been around forever at this point. I remember playing The Sims for the first time. Okay, I'm going to date myself. We had just gotten this brand new IBM Aptiva computer, which is like a thing that doesn't exist. It had like less memory on it than a calculator. But we had The Sims, and I was so excited. Although it had like multiple discs at the time. So like you'd play one part of the game, then you'd have to stop and like put in another part of the game. And, you know, someone would go outside and hit the windmill. So we had electricity. That's a joke. But anyway, you get through like bits and pieces of the game, but it always was that the worst part of The Sims, the thing that I would do that everyone does, okay, is like build a house with no doors, no windows. You know, you build a swimming pool, you put the people in it, then no ladder and they can't get out.
Obviously, yeah.
And I don't know what this says about me or most of the people on the internet, apparently, because that's all you ever see of The Sims is people doing chaotic things. But, you know, you've got like these simulated relationships and kids, and there's like dating components and like, you know, like vacation Sims and all sorts of things. Like you could have pets and dogs and like kids and, you
Sims
know,
pets. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so there's all these different pieces and parts of it that maybe for some of us, it's like, you know, living out bits and pieces of our life that we would never, you know, really do. Like you don't try to woo the mailman when he comes over. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. No judgment here, but you know, you can woo the mailman and, you know, woo your pizza guy and all these other people. And it's, I don't know. I'm not describing Sims at all. If the only experience you had of Sims is what I just said in the last 30 seconds, you're probably very confused.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I was at a private Christian school, but Sims was definitely on the computer, too. I being a middle schooler who was like obsessed with girls, but like I was very socially awkward. I'm going to put it that way. I definitely had Sims where I was just like playing as the girl and I'm going to go find some nerdy guy and tell him he's the greatest thing ever and fall in love. I don't know. I love that. I don't know. I didn't get to it as much other than just like at school playing Sims. But I think it's interesting to do because even though you're not creating, it's this like something about like that third party perspective, I guess, because you're not like playing as the Sim. You might name the Sim after yourself, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like almost like the God perspective.
Yeah. And I think
that's probably a big appeal of all of these kind of games, like Tycoon Sims, all of it. It's just kind of like this whole, even the chaos bit, you're like, and Sims, I think, gets to some of this a little bit easier because it's like you have the ordinary lives that we live now, and it's like I can see it like something more exciting, which I think we all are just striving for, more excitement, more fun, more something. And you get this God perspective and time goes a lot faster in games, so you, instead of having to wait and build a relationship for years, you're like, I'm gonna meet her a couple minutes, it'll at least been a couple years in a couple minutes, and then we can get married and it's great, the
exactly.
end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember there was one particular house that was like this mansion, and like the people had the most ridiculous house. And so I made my character fall in love with the guy and then, you know, just like slowly killed him off so I could take over his house and all of like the cool space that was there. But I didn't have the patience yeah. to build, you know, again, yeah. psychologically, I'm fine. You know, I'm a well-balanced person. It's all, it's good.
People really got to question us at the end of this.
They're kind of like, what is... The spikes and the killing people and the pool with no stairs. Like,
pool. You're torturing people. I'm trying to make people to see whether or not they're going to fall on spikes to their death or not.
But what if
they're probably
spikes,
all traumatized? It's fine.
They're spikes
in the pool.
In the pool, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So they can't get out, but they also can't touch the bottom.
Exactly. You know, how much endurance do you really have in this life? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's something we got to test to find out
exactly.
about other humans.
Exactly.
Not ourselves, of course.
We're just pushing the limits, you know,
yeah.
really, really testing the faith. So let's talk about my favorite thing, which is Tycoon games, because there's so many great options. Which ones are your favorite? What do you like?
I've never played City Skylines, but I heard a lot of people talk about this one, which is cool. But I know we all like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I love Roller Coaster Tycoon. Yeah, oh, and I guess I should be fair and go back to Roblox, because there is a Roller Coaster Tycoon within ooh. Roblox that my kids play a lot. And I do enjoy playing through it with them once they've done the creation stuff. But yeah, Roller Coaster Tycoon. What do you love about Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah, that's a good one to start with. I really loved when I was in middle school, went to my neighbor's house and he got all the mods. I don't know how to do mods when I was a kid because it was a lot more complicated back then than it is today. So I had to go to someone else's house who was took the time to learn how to do it. And he would get like the stuff where like you could recreate Pirates of the Caribbean or, you know, the Kraken from Six Flags or, you know, whatever, like all these like famous rides, you could recreate them. And we would do it where it's like, I'm going to do Pirates of the Caribbean, except now it's a roller coaster. So you fly through the water part, you see all the scenes, and then we're going to jump out and do a big loop or, you know, something just crazy. Cause it's like, I could reimagine all the stuff that I loved, especially a kid who grew up going to Disney all the time. Cause we lived in Florida. Vision, getting to see it as something else, just kind of like tweaking it, doing this something different here. Or, you know, I've always loved theme parks, so getting to build my own perfect theme park was great. And then, of course, launching people into the air and watching them explode. I don't know. It wasn't very graphic, but still, it was fun.
It's really, you know, like when you play certain tycoon games and you make the roller coaster go as high as possible and then you dig it into the ground. Yeah. Like as it's going down, just to, you know, it's for science, you know, to see how the physics work. And I will tell you, these games have gotten very accurate with their physics and how they measure things. And so sometimes just for scientific research, you know, it's fun
to see
what happens if a roller coaster goes 400 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, and then even like you could build different kinds of coasters. And the fun thing about like modern tycoon games, which we'll probably get to here in a little bit, is like now you can like check the guest of your park and see like, okay, the thrill seekers love this, the ones who like more calm stuff love that, like, and that's cool. I don't think that was a thing as much back then. It just all of your guests had the same preferences for some reason,
right? And now on like some of like the new theme park tycoon kind of games, you can toggle certain things on and off, so you can toggle off like the realness and the real reactions. Or you can turn it on and it'll tell you like people are too afraid to ride this ride, or like you need to adjust this because it's too harmful or whatever. And so you can have a more realistic gameplay, and you can also not do that.
Perfect.
Which is great.
I mean, I'd love doing like Sandbox in the old Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 is the one I remember the most. And when I bought the water expansion for my neighbor's game, because I wanted to play the water one. Because I always loved water rides and building these giant, like, where, like, it was like the rapids rides, like, you know, that you usually get to go through that are all, like, flat, but you get a lot of rapids. And I'm like, nope, we're starting super high. We're going to go down and there's rapids and waterfalls. And I'm going to make it the most. And because, you know, in the game, you could do first person perspective and, like, watch it go through the ride and, like, kind of pretend like you're riding it. And I'm like, this is great. I wish this was real.
That's definitely one of the best parts of it is, you know, you may not be able to be at Disney World or Universal Studios right now, but you can go ride the roller coasters. Yeah. And, like, there's people who have replicated the theme parks, like, in their entirety. And it's
and you can find them.
Yeah. And it's the craziest thing to, like, walk through and be like, I've been here, you know, and I've seen this and I've ridden this ride. And just the amount of time it takes to do something like that is crazy. So I have a deep appreciation.
Even recreating it, let's say, even recreating it for yourself. Like if you do one of the rides that you love and you make it and then you go through it and you're like, man, this is just like the ride. There's like something about like a sense of accomplishment. And you kind of see how difficult it actually is to make some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's obviously still easier in the game, but it helps you acknowledge like, man, so much went into this.
Right.
And you have the accomplishment of like, and I did it because I'm cool.
Yeah, because we're cool people. Like, I don't care what anybody else
says. Totally can make Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion and any ride we want.
And you can put spikes in it if you want to. And who's going to stop you?
Yeah, lots of spikes. Oh, man. Zoo Tycoons were big for me, too. So we're going like the older ones. Did you ever play any of the Zoo Tycoon games?
I did a little bit. Like you, when I played it, it was all chaos. Like, so like, how can I have things just running around? Like, I would get things well established and then like something would break out or like, you know, oops, I accidentally let out the bears or whatever, you know, and it, whatever happened, happened, you know?
Yeah, I loved it. I love being able to like make all the different things. And with the expansions, having like the water animals and all that stuff. And of course, there was a dinosaur expansion. I don't know why there was, but there was. So, like, you could go by the giraffes, and the next exhibit is T-Rex, and then not, right?
Jurassic Park does exist, okay? Like, they did this whole thing, and they made dinosaurs, so of course dinosaurs can be.
yeah, it's a thing. It's fine.
I don't need to worry about
stuff. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing both, where, like, I was, because you could do, like, that perspective thing on a specific animal that you can't do in an actual zoo, right? And like,
right,
I'm just watching the elephant walk around like I'm like right up against it, and the graphics now I'm looking at like, wow, that's awful. You know, like, it was fun, something fun about that, plus deleting the fence chaos. And I've always loved zoos. Like, I've always been like big on it. Like, as a kid, it was just because like I liked animals. And as I've grown and I learned about like AZA accreditation and like how we're actually helping environments and how some of them are harmful, I'm like, my views have been more nuanced, which is, we'll get to it later, why I'm like, some of these games were great for when I was a kid, and now I look at it, and I'm like, man, there's so much more to it than, hey, are the animals happy, and did you make a cool zoo?
Right.
And the newer games actually get at some of the more complications with even the morality around having a zoo.
Right.
Hey, guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff, like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with the podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and we really, it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
Well, yeah, there's, and actually, so, you know, that Let's Game It Out, one of the things that you see in their games is like when the animals are hungry or you're not feeding them properly, or you don't have enough money to support all the things that you've bought. And there are some real questions that go into that. Like, and it does teach us a little bit about, you know, things aren't just one dimensional, right? Like, there's a lot of facets to all of that. And I think in some ways, you know, because we're getting ready to dig a little bit deeper here, you know, maybe it gives us some appreciation for God's creation in itself, right? Like, how does God put something together, like knit the world together in such a way that creating order out of all the chaos and, you know, bringing things into order and creating the way that God created, I don't know, it gives us appreciation because what God did, I can't do, you know, I may be wanting to play God on, you know, some of these games, but I can't recreate that, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I know Sid, we can talk about it a little bit, but maybe I'll just go ahead and jump to Planet Zoo for a second.
Yeah.
And this is because technology has advanced. I don't think it's because Zoo Tycoon didn't know the stuff existed. I think it's because there was limitations of what we could do. That there's a lot less limitations these days. Even today, before I jumped on, I'm playing through like the campaign, and it's like, okay, time for the next campaign. I got some of the DLC. I get to go to some of the American wildlife. This is gonna be great. And it throws you in. The person who's running the zoo turned out was a bad person. He got fired. He's on the run. Some animals are let free. The zoo's losing money. There's people on strike in the zoo, and it's like, fix all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, for starters, there's no vet. So obviously the animals need to be taken care of by the vet. Yeah, your zoo already has no money because people are striking right now. And I'm like, they're striking because the animals doesn't feel good, but I can't make the animal feel good because I can't afford a vet because they're on strike in my zoo.
Right.
And then even when you get stuff, Planet Zoo is so complicated. Like, you have to make sure there's power, that there's the right temperature, the right amount of animals. And it's not just about making money in this game, like the old Tycoon. You also have points on, are you letting animals go free when they're healthy enough? Are you like being conscious of like your impact to the world and actually doing research to help animals? Or are you just trying to make money? If you're just trying to make money in this game, you lose.
Right.
If you're doing the research, helping animals, finding ways to let them go free, doing research on viruses is even part of the game. But then like, it's so much more nuanced, and it gets right at the heart of why I actually do like zoos. Cause for them, if they are AZA accredited, most zoos actually are doing more to help wildlife than not. And there's a lot of incentive to let the animals go that aren't just financial, but include financial reasons. And I don't know, this game gets to all of that. And even why, like, strikes are good, because like, I needed that terrible guy out of this zoo so that like I could care for the animals. But then also, are you getting in the way of us being able to help the animals at this point? Like, you know, there's nuance to all of these different things. And I love that the game really shows that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. If we can, you know, I feel like a game has done more than its job if it's also offering advocacy and teaching, and there's some real element. And to the credit of video games as a whole right now, I think a lot of times people don't realize just how much story and how many lessons you can have in a video game. I mean, you think about what you can get out of a 2-hour movie. What about when you're playing a 60-hour game, you know, a game that maybe doesn't have any limits at all, like a Tycoon kind of game? How much story can you get, and how much thought and direction it takes to put something like that together? I mean, it's insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even like to the tiniest details, like some animals want to be paired with other animals because like societal stuff. And you're like, okay, cool. And then you put like a crocodile and like some other kind of crocodile together, and you're like, this will be great. And it's like, actually, no, they want lots of separation and isolation. And you're like, oh, man. So I'm learning about the animals, too. But it's everything's so complicated, and games have so much more capacity than when I was a kid to show us these complications. Like, it's just so wild.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Have you heard of Papers, Please? So this game, I learned from a friend of our show now, Ben Chica. He, Paul Tillich scholar, does a lot with like theology beer camp kind of stuff. Shout out Theology Beer Camp. I will be there. Laura hopefully will be there this year. If you guys want to check it out, I'll probably put a link somewhere. Where was I? Ben Chica. Yeah. He talks a lot about the theology of video games, and like he teaches classes on this stuff. Like it's his whole job. And he brings up this game called Papers, Please, and how they've done studies on how it's changed people's minds about immigration once they play this game, because you're playing as an immigration officer and you can do your job and send everyone back and or not. And sometimes someone comes through who's like, hey, please take me captive right now. The person behind me is going to do this, that, whatever. They're part of the cartel. And then you have people who you hear their whole story, and it's like you can send them back knowing that they're going to die or not. And there's not really like a win lose to the game. It's more of a just showing you what this is like in the complications that exist in the system. And you're like, man, games can do some wild stuff.
Right.
And it's challenging a lot of the time.
Well, and when you're going through and having to actively make those decisions and make those choices, you know, there's more to it than just hitting a button on a controller. Like, you're having to think through that. Like, we joke about the spikes and jumping off of wall or, you know, high places.
Stuff too.
You know, there's like the chaos part of it, but then there is like the, when you have that emotional decision-making process, you know, how do you choose the right thing? I think it's, there's one, a game on Steam Deck, Undertale. I don't know if you've played this. I'm a little obsessed with this game.
I'm curious now.
But it's a very, very simple concept of a game. It's on Steam Deck. It's like $3, which is one of the many reasons I love Steam Deck.
I'm going to have the game.
So, but you can either play, you know, making decisions around like violence, or you can choose to lead a pacifist route. And it's a completely different game. You know, the way that it handles and the way you play it, because you're offering mercy and opportunity to the things that you encounter rather than just killing it to get past it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. And this, even outside the realistic stuff, I'm gonna throw up another one that I'm really excited that's coming out. Jurassic World Evolution 3. I haven't played the other ones. I've watched lots of videos because I didn't have a Steam until recently, and now the third one's about to come out, and I'm not going to go buy the old one when the new one's coming out. But if you watch the videos and you learn about this thing, what's so interesting is, like, it's not real, but some of the criticism I've had for some of the Jurassic movies is it makes everything seem so black and white. Like, I just don't love that. But what you see in the games is they're taking care of the animals same way as the zoo. You're having to learn about stuff that there's really no way to learn about realistically, but, you know, they're doing research to learn how to, like, care for them. And then, hey, if they get out, you see the danger that it's causing to the people and someone who's interested in the park because you need it to do well so you can continue to do research and help these creatures. You're like, I don't want them to get out and to cause chaos because that's going to cause me to lose money. Then I won't be able to care for them. And then what? They're going to be let free? I don't think so. You know, it's just one of those, like, it really explores the problems of the Jurassic franchise in a whole new light when you're able to kind of take this perspective. And even when they get out, you can play as, like, some of the people trying to bring them back in. So you get the fun thing of, like, actually going after the dinosaurs, and also remind you that, this is about someone trying to create a theme park of dinosaurs and why that's a bad idea.
Right.
And, right. Like, we tend to forget that this whole time, this is about someone trying to make a theme park.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's, I think that's one of the things I love is every once in a while in the movies, and we all know that some of the movies themselves are better than others.
Yeah.
Just a fact.
It's true.
But they do ask the question, you know, sometimes in some of the later, like, movies, you know, what are the ethics around creating something like this? And don't we remember that people just died? Like, and yet here we are, like, come to Jurassic Park. And I think it's one of my favorite things about, like, Universal Studios is they have the Velocicoaster, and the whole time you're on the Velocicoaster in line, you hear the video 8,000 times because it's too short. But they always talk about, like, she doesn't know how fast and how dangerous the Velociraptors are, but here you are in a Velociraptor paddock riding a roller coaster. And of course, that's the fun of the whole thing. Yeah. But it does, you know, beg the question. It also asks, I think it brings some reality to the question about how we handle, like, invasive species and, you know, what happens when something is somewhere that it doesn't belong. I mean, if you had, like, a natural extinction of a species and then suddenly you bring it back, even in places like Florida, where we see, like, Burmese pythons taking over the environment, and my snake loving heart. And I'm sorry to anybody who doesn't love snakes. I love snakes. These are, like, the most beautiful creatures, and yet they have to be killed because they're an extremely invasive species that, you know, messes up the ecosystem. And so there's all these other issues that you think about when you play these games. It's not just, I mean, maybe for some people it's not that deep. Maybe it's just dinosaurs. but I think about
which
that
is fine.
It's kind of you're right. That's totally okay. And you can put spikes in your dinosaur cage and, you know, spikes on your dinosaurs and, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting part, too, is, like, in this game, you can explore other stuff, even stuff like, well, you can kind of explore this and hold everything. When the dinosaurs breed, there's genetic problems that occur. And in this, it's like, hey, you actually could do the research and fix some of these genetic problems. Insert genetics from another animal, which totally isn't how things work, but it is in Jurassic. It's fine. But, like, it explores that problem of, like, hey, breeding when we're not supposed to be breeding, playing God. And at the same time, you are playing God and seeing why that's a bad idea.
Right.
But also you're thrown in situations where you're like, if I don't do this, either someone else is going to do this, or these monsters roam the world, or we kill these creatures who have real life and real feelings, and maybe they're not humans, but maybe killing them's bad too, and it's
right.
an impossible situation that we created for ourselves.
Right. How do we value life, and what does this teach us about the value of life and creation as a whole?
Yeah, there's so much. All of these games, there's just so much we can go on about, but I'll stop.
So maybe as sort of a final thought for us, why do you think we like playing these kind of games? You know, just as a simple question, of course, you know, why do we like playing these games?
We can release tornadoes, launch roller coasters into the sky, and have dinosaurs roam the earth. What do you?
Exactly.
No, I mean, sometimes I do think it's the point is that like life is boring, but in these games, we can make chaos happen and kind of escape from our ordinary lives. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I think it's just more of like, I'm not going to commit myself to doing a whole lifetime of work to become someone who's able to do zoos and take care of the animals and all that. But I like learning and seeing that perspective and feeling like I'm able to help the animals and do like stuff with like the zoo tycoons or like with Coaster Tycoon, being able to experience it from home when I can't afford to go to a theme park every day. Or maybe I like to just create something because I can feel proud of the fact that I created something, and it doesn't need to be any more than that. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Why do you think? You're the minister.
Well, according to my theological study, and I am starting to work on my doctorate this year, so let me just explain from a future doctor perspective. I gotta be pretentious every once in a while. No, I think, you know, like truly it is that for me, at least, there is so much order in my life. I have to have routine. I have to have structure. And part of that's just my being ADHD. If I don't have structure, everything falls apart. And yet at the same time, there's a part of you that just, you know, even like the most basic things in our life, right? Like you get a pack of dominoes, you set them up. Nobody plays dominoes. At least I don't think. I don't think any human, you can try
my
to
wife
make all
alone. That's no, just her.
Yeah, no, that's crazy talk. Nobody plays dominoes. We set up dominoes and we knock them down because the destruction part is fun. You know, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to set them up, watching how they fall and the effect that all of these things. And I think there's a curiosity about causality that is just innate within us, right? Like we're always searching for why, always wanting to know how things work. And sometimes we can get the answer to that in a way that doesn't actually hurt anybody else, but lets us lean into that curiosity. I think in some ways that is a discovery of God and how God works as a creator.
Yeah. Yeah. Originally when I was thinking of this, I think I had a very bad answer because my brain was going back to like when I was in school with Southern Baptist, really grew up as like a really conservative Pentecostal. And we have some of those on our show, and like, no hate. It's just like, I was taught the line so much of like, we need to have children, and why we want to be children is because that makes us creators, and we're made in the image of God, the ultimate creator. So that's why we want to create and procreate. And then I'm like, okay, so maybe that's why we like play tycoon games. And I feel like maybe not. Like I'm like, no offense, but I'm like, I have no desire to have kids. And this isn't me doing the same thing that God did when he created everything. Like, it's just not the same. Mm-hmm. Part of what I think now, thinking about it a little bit more, maybe it's more of like the life I live currently, I can only live first person, right? I only see what my choices do, what I'm able to do. But with these kind of games, whether it be Sims or Tycoons, it's the whole system. So, you know, like even though, you know, I'm not able to do anything with society here, or like I'm stuck in the systems I'm stuck in.
Yeah.
Whether it be work, I'm stuck in the theme park that I go to and other people are making the choices for me. I'm stuck the zoos we have, whether I think they're moral or not. But with these kind of games, I can impact the system. Mm-hmm. I can have faith that maybe a better system exists, you know, like it allows me to have a little bit more hope, I think, too. So, yes, part of it is, look, I can make things go boom and spikes. And then part of it's also like, hey, what if it's possible that our systems can be better? And something mm-hmm. about just the hope that lies in that, I think.
Yeah. And then, you know, just to be philosophical, too, you know, there's that the irony of all of it is that we're still bound by the limits of the game itself. Right. And it's like, there's that old joke, you know, about like God versus the people who are like, I can make something better than God can make it. And then they go to pick up a pile of dirt and God says, go create your own dirt. And it's a really bad joke, but, you know, God kind of pointing out like, I made the stuff you're trying to start with. And so, there's like, what does it mean for us to really sort of live beyond those boundaries and the walls? And the spikes in the ground. I'm going to keep coming back to the spike. To really like lean into, I don't know, just that whole experience of, like you said, like we live in a first person perspective, but what is it like to really see all of the pieces and to have some control and to, you know, hope, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Star Wars, Christian Ashley, Kingdom Hearts, Hope. There we go. That's everything I needed to say.
Rebellions are built on hope.
True. And that's why we have spikes, to rebel.
Exactly.
There we go. Tied it in.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Man. Anyway. So, well, let's, are you ready to wrap up? Or do you, have, anything, do you have any other thoughts you want to share?
I'm good if you're good.
Okay. So just for those of you who want to hear a little bit more, for our subscribers, we are going to have a question later, and I'm going to tell you what it is, but you have to subscribe to be a part of the answering process.
Yeah.
Again, I can talk today. I have a real firm grasp on the English language. So our question is, I'm really excited for this. What would we like to see in a church tycoon game? Okay.
Yeah.
Be sure to come back, because I'm really excited for this.
Me too.
So as we close, what recommendation would you offer for everyone to check out or listen to or watch?
Yeah. I'm going to be annoying. I've recently discovered there's a novella, which is just a short novel version of Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. The story is actually more enjoyable than the game. The game's version of the story, not the game itself. That's different. I have nostalgia. Leave me alone. So if you don't feel like playing the game, and you can find, it's kind of hard to find some of the short novels for Kingdom Hearts, but if you can find the Chain of Memories novella, I think it's totally worth it. Explores, like, are we more than our memories? And are our connections to friends more than memories? If I don't remember you, do we still have a relationship? And it's so good. I love it. Yeah, I just love all Kingdom Hearts. But having the story and being able to experience it in a different way, it's kind of fun. Yeah.
I'm here for it. For me, I'm going to keep up with the same theme that I've had since March. So sorry, everyone. But it's, I just finished Dungeon Crawler Carl, 7th book.
Nice.
And I need everyone to read it or listen to the audibles, because I just need people to talk about this with me. But great. So that's my continued ongoing recommendation. And also get Mario Kart World, because that's nice. A lot of fun too. So if you are on a laptop, please consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser and Good Pods. This will help our show gain recognition and be easier to find in the search engines. If you're on your phone, please consider rating, reviewing, or commenting on our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This will help prioritize our show in these apps' algorithms. So thank you in advance for your support. I'd also like to thank once again Jonathan Augustine. Remember, if you'd like your own shout out too, support our show for $3 a month. I feel like there needs to be like an applause sound, like woo, $3? You know, $3, oh. $3 a month, y'all. You can't even get a Pepsi at the gas station for $3 anymore. Maybe you can, I don't know. But you could get a Pepsi. Thank you. Pepsi or Coca-Cola, or you can support our show. And which one of those things do you think is a better investment? There's no judgment here, but support our show. So $3. That went on way longer than it needed to. but friends, as we close today, thank you so much for listening and being with us. This has been a really fun conversation. Also, send us more recommendations of things that you think that we should be playing and talking about. So remember, friends, that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Here at Systematic Ecology, we believe in a few things. We believe that there is freedom in Christ to like what you like. We believe that Christian nationalism is a heresy. And probably most important that I'm going to talk about today, at least, is that we believe the best place to spend your extra cash is on the Systematic Ecology merch store. That's right. This is a shameless shill for our own products. We go through Creator Spring, and we have a few great products on there. Me personally, I'm a big like black shirt kind of guy, you know, muted colors. But there's nothing better to like throw a little something extra on there with like a black baseball cap, the dad hat with the Systematic Ecology logo on it. That's a classic. I just really think if you got a couple, you know, 30 extra dollars, that's for us.
Hello there, listener. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Garcia. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We just wanted to come in and remind you that this episode is part of a bigger network of podcasts called the Anazal Podcast Network. We have great shows like the Whole Church Podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, and the Homily with Pastor Chill Will. Chill Will, the podcast has sermons from our host, Pastor Will. Great sermons every time. The Kung Fu Pizza Party is Brandon Knight showing his expertise and his passion for everything Kung Fu films. And he dispenses a bunch of wisdom. Great show. And the Whole Church Podcast, where Josh and TJ interview people from different denominations and church traditions to pursue greater church unity. It's a great podcast to see what other denominations are included. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening. See you next time.